Well, good morning, church family, and it's so good to be back with you again. Thank you very much indeed for those of you who prayed for Elaine and for me as we ministered last weekend to Baptist pastors and their wives from Cape Town and King Williamstown to as far as Venda. And what a great blessing to be able to pour into the lives of pastors and their wives. And thank you so much. God moved in blessing and in awesome grace and power, and we are so grateful. And I can hardly wait for tomorrow morning as we begin our week of prayer, which is always a very special time in the life of this fellowship. This fellowship moves forward in prayer. Amen. And so we're inviting you to join with us at Put and Margaret's home tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock through to 9 o'clock. And afterwards, there's refreshments as well. And so we pray through from Monday morning to Friday morning, same time, same place, every morning. And we're asking you to come and to pray with us. Who could ever overemphasize the importance of corporate prayer? The Christian church was born out of a united prayer meeting of 10 days in Jerusalem. The mission of the Christian church was born out of a corporate prayer meeting in Antioch. Every revival in the history of the Christian church has been born out of a prayer meeting. And so this morning I want to simply answer the question, why bother with a week of prayer? If you believe the Bible to be the inspired, authoritative Word of God, and I believe you do, here are some reasons why this coming week could be a breakthrough week for the UEF and for your life and mine. It's actually very simple. Why bother with a week of prayer every morning? Because in the first instance, God the Father wants us to pray. God the Father invites us to pray, and God the Father promises to answer prayer. And could there ever be any greater reason than that? God Himself says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Ask and keep on asking, and the door will be opened. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking." God the Father wants us to pray, invites us to pray, and promises to answer prayer. God the Father wants us to pray because prayer builds the relationship with Him. And God is after the relationship. He wants us to pray because through prayer we align our lives to Him and to His purposes. He wants us to pray because prayer puts us on God's agenda for our lives and for our church. A prayerless person is a powerless person. A prayerless church is a powerless church. May have all kinds of activities and things going on, but a church that is not a praying church will not know the anointing and the authority and the power of God. It's as simple as that. Why have a week of prayer? Because God the Father wants us to pray, invites us to pray, promises to answer prayer. Secondly, Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead so that we could be redeemed and restored in a relationship with God where we are positioned to pray. Do you know that Jesus prayed for you and for me 2,000 years ago when He was here on earth? Do you know that? He said to His disciples, "I not only pray for them, But I pray also, I'm praying also, he said, for those who will believe on me through their word. Before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed for all future believers, and that includes you and me this morning. He died and rose again and ascended on high so that we could be positioned to pray, spiritually enthroned with him above all opposing authority. At this very moment, he is our effective mediator. He is our sympathetic, understanding high priest, and he ever lives to make intercession for his saints. And we have been raised up with him, Paul says to the Ephesians, and made to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus died and rose again to position us for prevailing prayer. There we have legal equality. His righteousness is credited to our account. There we have positional identity. We are united with him in all the merits of his sinless life, his sacrificial death, his triumphant resurrection, his glorious ascension, and his powerful intercession. There, seated with Christ in heavenly places spiritually, we have spiritual unity. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. There we have delegated authority. Jesus says, I have given you all authority over the power of the enemy. And there we have complete armory. There, positioned in Christ in heavenly places, our position spiritually is one where we can be clothed in complete armor for victory as we pray always with all kinds of prayer on all occasions with the Holy Spirit's help. Jesus gave his very life that we might be positioned in the place of prevailing prayer, so that we could pray in his name, that is, through all the merits of his shed blood and righteousness and his glorious presence as our representative at the Father's right hand. Why do we bother with a week of prayer? Well, thirdly, because the Holy Spirit of God is given to every Christ follower to develop an effective prayer ministry. We do not know how to pray as we ought, or what to pray for sometimes. But God the Holy Spirit has been given to us as an intercessor within, so that by his ministry within, counting on his presence, believing in his ministry, we can make intercession according to the will of God. How right Charles Haddon Spurgeon was when he said, no Christian can pray without the Trinity. No Christian can pray without the Trinity. Oh, you can say prayers, you can mouth words, you can even recite liturgies. But real prayer engages the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, pray in the Holy Spirit on all occasions. Pray, counting on the Holy Spirit's help. The Holy Spirit of God is a praying, interceding spirit. From the day of Pentecost onwards, the disciples prayed when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they prayed. You'll see that pattern from beginning to end in the Acts of the Apostles. The Holy Spirit's power was unleashed through prayer. The gospel was shared by all. People got saved. Churches were planted. The kingdom of God on earth advanced. How? Through the corporate prayers of the people of God. You remember the story of the Brooklyn Tabernacle? We have shared it several times in this church family. Dear Jim Cimbala, pastor of two minute congregations in Brooklyn, New York, amongst the drug dealers, the cocaine addicts, the winos, the street people, the down and outs, went on a vacation down to Florida, was on a fishing boat, feeling washed up, done in, and finished. And he was at the boat, crying out to God, "Lord, I can't do this anymore." And God spoke to him, saying, "If you will go back and teach my people to pray, I will work my wonders among you." And so he went back to his little congregation in New York, and he said, "From now on, the main service is not the worship service on a Sunday. It is the midweek prayer meeting. That is the most important service in this church from now on." And so he gathered with his people, first a dozen, then 20, then 30. And people began to get saved and delivered and redeemed and restored through the prayer meeting. And today that church is world famous, as is its choir, and 2,500 people gather for the prayer meeting. Do I need to say any more? God moves in answer to the believing prayer of his people. You can have a head full of doctrine and a life that is powerless if you're not a praying Christian, if we're not a praying church. Reason number four. We're living in a war zone today, and we're contending against a very powerful enemy. And sadly, you don't have to look very far to see how frequently and pervasively the enemy is winning. What used to be Christian so-called nations are now anything but. Thousands of churches are in decline, and thousands of churches are literally dying across Europe and the United Kingdom and North America. Islam grows faster than Christianity in many parts of the world. It is a disgrace, actually. And the reason is because God's people have forgotten how to engage the triune God in believing prayer. How to stand firm in the evil day, having on the full armor of God, praying on all occasions with all kinds of prayer, counting on the Holy Spirit's help. And you don't have to look further. Believe me, Satan has a scheme to defeat every single church. Amen? Don't have to look further than the book of Revelation in our Bible to find that he tried to get the church at Ephesus so busy with serving that they lost their first love for the one they served. He tried to defeat the church at Smyrna with slander, opposition, and persecution. He tried to get the church at Pergamum to deny the faith and follow the ways of idolatry, error, and sexual impurity. Satan tried to seduce the church at Thyatira through the same idolatrous and immoral spirit that worked through Queen Jezebel. He tried to put the church at Sardis to sleep. "Watch and pray," says Jesus, "lest you too fall into the devil's anesthetizing trap," like Peter and the apostles who slept through Jesus' Gethsemane. Satan's strategy for the church at Philadelphia was to keep them from finishing the Christian race, to fall short of the goal, to forfeit the prize. His strategy for the church at Laodicea was to make them so comfortable, so self-orientated, so successful, that they were useless. self-satisfied, complacent, compromised. Any of this sound familiar? Why bother with a week of prayer? Because you and the church and the nation go down unless God's people learn to pray once again. And pray together until they pray through and see the windows of heaven opened and a blessing there's not room enough to contain. Why bother with a week of prayer? Because a praying church, beloved, is the greatest force contesting Satan's total rule over the earth. And if that sounds far-fetched for you, you better listen to the Apostle John, who says the whole world lies in the grip of the evil one. And you better listen to Jesus, who calls Satan the God, small g, of this world, and the prince of this world. We're not wrestling just against flesh and blood here. We're wrestling against principalities and powers and the world rulers of this present darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And unless the Church of Jesus learns how to pray again, we will lose the day. The book of Revelation clearly shows that Satan and his cohorts are constantly working through the religious, financial, economic, political, social, ideological, and immoral systems of this world that is in the grip of the evil one, and that he is opposed to Christ and his church. But prayer brings the kingdom of God, the reign of God, the rule of God, and the blessings of his reign into any and every situation. Amen. Therefore, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray every day. Because through prayer, the name, the being, the character of God is exalted. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It happens through prayer. Through prayer, the reign of God is experienced. Thy kingdom come. Through prayer, the will of God is accomplished. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Through prayer, the provision of God is released. Give us this day our daily bread. Through prayer, the sins that offend God are forgiven. Forgive us our sins as we fully and freely forgive those who have sinned against us. Through prayer, the people of God are delivered from temptation and evil and the evil one. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And finally, Jesus teaches us that it is through prayer that the victory of God is declared. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Why bother with a week of prayer? Because we have an evil adversary who does not want this church to be blessed. I know it. Your church council knows it. Do you know it? The last thing Satan wants is for the UEF and the church in Fishhook and in Cape Town and in Africa and in the world to prevail. The last thing the devil wants is for lost people to get saved here, for sick people to get healed here, for backsliders to be restored here, for gossips to be silenced here, for prodigals to come home here, for poverty, crime, and violence to be eradicated and our society transformed. Satan will do everything he can to stop a church from really praying. But you see, these are the things that God wants. And our God is on a rescue mission But he works in answer to believing corporate united prayer. Friends, the church is the hope of the world, but a prayerless church is a hopeless church. Who knows? Who knows? If we this morning do not stand on the threshold of a new day of God's power that will be ushered in through believing prayer. Amen? Listen, beloved, by faith expressed through prayer, strongholds are broken down, kingdoms are conquered, the enemy is bound, and captives are set free. Therefore, will you join us in our week of prayer? And let's believe the God who created a billion galaxies and gave his own Son for us on the cross to open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, there'll not be room enough to contain it. Do you agree? If just two of you on earth will agree as touching that which they ask, says Jesus, it will be done by my Father in heaven. There needs to come a new cleansing in the church. And so the first half of our prayer meeting will be a heart-searching spiritual checkup. And the second half will be intercession. Please join us if you can. Why not start even before tomorrow? And let's trust God to do what only God can do. Shall we pray? Lord, here we are feeling like absolute beginners, crying out for the disciples as we see Jesus at prayer. Oh Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach me how to pray. Teach us as a church family how to pray. How to pray until we move heaven for earth's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.